a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Let's go ahead and get started. House Judiciary Committee will come to order. Thanks for being patient with us. State Affairs went over at the previous committee meeting, and a few people on this committee also sit on State Affairs, so they had to take care of a few matters before they could make it to this committee meeting. We have a full agenda today, but I have it on good word that three of these bills are going to disappear very quickly. So, and I'm going to, in light of that and in light of who the prime sponsors of the bills are so that they can have their bills together, I am going to move House Bill 1219 up in front of House Bill 1171, and I'll move House Bill 1232 up in front of House Bill 1177. And the first bill we will take today will be the one below the line, House Bill 1151. Just a reminder again to all those who plan to testify, please sign in. The pages, please come forward. One's just been... She's going to grab the sheet. Well, come forward and turn the mic on and introduce yourself. Tell us your name and what high school you go to.
Hello, my name is Jesse Schuster, and I attend Sturgis Brown High School.
All right, welcome.
Hello, my name is Valentina Giolaiti. I'm an exchange student from Italy this year.
Well, welcome. Thanks for being here, and hope you're having a good time being a page. Reminder, also, turn your cell phones on. I'm getting hungry for jerky. Pastor Dale Barcher, thank you for having your cell phone go off in State Affairs. I look forward to that jerky this afternoon, perhaps, when we meet again. Have the secretary call the roll at this point.
Representatives Link,
here.
Killer,
here.
Feinstein, Gibson,
here.
Hoffman,
here.
Magstead,
here.
Kopp,
here.
Erickson,
here.
Stevens,
here.
Johns,
here.
Hayek,
here.
Hansen,
here.
Gosh.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Moved by Representative Hansen, seconded by Representative Gibson. Those in favor of approving the minutes will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. We'll get into House Bill 1151. We had testimony at our last meeting on this particular bill, and we had six proponents, no opponents except for members of the committee. So I think we have some amendments to discuss. Representative Rounds, tell us what you've got.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning to the members of the House Judiciary Committee, Representative Tim Rounds, District 24 Pier. We went through the necessity of this bill last Monday. Due to some questions from the committee, there was some work behind the scenes, and we think we brought a bigger and better product, something that does exactly what we want to do. And that has been distributed in the form of an amendment 1151RA. I would like to thank the committee's indulgence on this. I think it's an important issue, and I appreciate you taking the time to allow us to come back and try and make a good idea into a better piece of legislation. I'm going to turn over the explanation of the bill to Mr. Gloat here, and we'll remain available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rounds. Mr. Gloat.
Chairman Gosh, members of the committee, Jason Gloat with the Independent Insurance Agents of South Dakota. Again, we thank you for the guidance in making this language better, and it was a collaborative effort to make those improvements. The intent of the amendment from last Monday was really to include corporate entities, organized and corporate entities, not just directors and officers. And we have a better way of articulating that in this new amendment, and the changes that were made are three, and I'll go through each section. Section one is the initial Good Samaritan Law 20-9-4, and originally we were attempting to incorporate those or include those nonprofit volunteer entities, those emergency responder entities, the fire, ambulance, search and rescue, in that Good Samaritan Law. We took that out and added a new section, which is now Section 3. So Section 1 now in the amendment is only a cleanup amendment. It makes two changes. Instead of saying shall extend, it says extends, and any such relief, it simply removes the word such. So Section 1 is just cleanup of the existing Good Samaritan law. The amendment does not have a substantive change to that law. It would remain as is. Section 2 addresses the statute of limitation for negligence. And the intent of the bill from the very beginning has really been to treat volunteers and the actual entity for nonprofit emergency responders the same as those volunteers working for or volunteering for municipal entities, with the expansion to include those corporate entities. And this is based on the existing municipal statute for statute of limitations 9-24-5. We use the same language. The only difference is that we made it clear that that statute of limitations for negligence actions also applies to those volunteer officers and directors of those nonprofit emergency provider entities that are not municipal. And Section 3 is what originally was the effort through our Section 1. This is the new section. And thanks to the guidance from Chairman Gosch, we did find a general immunity statute that is much broader than looking at the existing Good Samaritan law. And that general liability statute for volunteers on nonprofit boards, organizations, or corporate entities is 47-23-29. So what we did is we based this new section off of the existing general immunity statute. And the only difference is we expanded it to make sure it includes the actual organized or corporate entity in South Dakota. So it's beyond just the directors and the officers. It includes the actual corporate entity. Those are the changes that we made. If there are any questions, I will stand by and hopefully be able to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Gloat. Further proponents for the amendment that's been passed around, and if anybody in the audience would like to see it, who hasn't seen it, we have more copies up by the pages.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Paul Merriman, State Fire Marshal, Department of Public Safety. We just wanted to say we support the bill as amended, and we would ask your support and passage of the bill. And thank you very much.
Thank you. And you also testified on the original bill, and you reviewed the amendment, and your proponent testimony is for the amendment. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Further proponent testimony on the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Marilyn Retz. I'm the Director of Emergency Medical Services, and I'm hoping that you will support this amendment as it is written.
Thank you, Ms. Retz. Further proponent testimony? Seeing none, any opponent testimony on the amendment, the proposed amendment? Seeing none, then we'll close the committee to the taking of public testimony on the amendment. Open up to committee questions. Any questions from the committee on the amendment? Seeing none, I'll open up to committee action or discussion. Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move at this time 1151RA.
Moved by Wink, seconded by Gibson. Discussion on your motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think that the Representative Rounds and Mr. Gloat explained it in great detail, and I don't have any questions on it.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Further comments and or action on 1151 as amended? Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, I would move due pass as amended.
Moved by Hansen, seconded by Erickson. Comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I think it's been explained well. I think it's a good bill, and I would urge your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Further comments by the committee? Seeing none, those in favor of the do pass motion as amended will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein. Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Magstead.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Hayek.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 12 ayes and one excused.
House Bill 1151 will go to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. We have two bills that we're going to dispose of very quickly here, I believe, by Representative Craig. So he has House Bills 1232 and 1177. We're going to take up 1232 first. Welcome, Representative Craig.
Mr. Chair, members of the House Judiciary Committee, good morning. My name is Scott Craig, representing the beautiful people from District 33, and today before you is House Bill 1232, a bill strongly encouraged for South Dakota by Shared Hope, America's premier watchdog organization in the fight against the horrifying and growing sex trafficking industry within the United States. Their study of South Dakota law revealed that our laws needed strengthening in this area, and joined by other concerned persons and an agency in South Dakota that fights sex trafficking within the state, we moved ahead with one of Shared Hope's suggestions, which is before you this morning as House Bill 1232, which would increase the penalty for propositioning a minor. But last night, the chair of your distinguished committee identified that this very statute already exists, but it is found within a child pornography law listed as 22-24A-5. And with this new information, we request that House Bill 1232 be tabled and that the state of South Dakota be congratulated for having already shown itself as having done its due diligence in this aspect of human trafficking. And I will convey the findings to all interested parties. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Representative Craig. Further, is there any other proponent testimony or opponent testimony? Seeing none, thank you very much. You're always very careful and deliberative in what you bring and what you have us consider, and I appreciate it. And I think the Shared Hope folks need to be told and informed that they need to look at South Dakota laws a little bit more closer and see that we have good laws on the books already. Thank you, Representative Craig. With that, I open up to committee action. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, I move to table.
Second.
That's a non-debatable motion. That's moved by Hansen, seconded by Representative Magstead. Those in favor of tabling will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
You have to roll call.
Roll call.
Secretary, how the secretary call the roll?
Representatives Wink,
aye.
Killer,
aye.
Feinstein,
aye.
Gibson,
aye.
Hoffman,
aye.
Magstead,
aye.
Kopp,
aye.
Erickson,
aye.
Stevens,
aye.
Johns,
aye.
Hayek,
aye.
Hansen, Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 13 ayes, 0 nays.
House Bill 1232 is tabled. Moving along, we'll take up House Bill 1177, an act to criminalize the failure to return rented or leased property and to provide a penalty therefore. Representative Craig.
Again, Mr. Chair and members of the House Judiciary Committee, my name is Scott Craig, representing District 33, and before you is House Bill 1177, taken from Montana codified law and domesticated for South Dakota. It is a constituent bill on behalf of the rental car agencies in South Dakota in response to the high number of rented cars that are converted to personal use. In the case of one recent car that went missing and ended up in a demolition derby. Yes, a brand new Seville, I think, is what it was, $30,000 damage. And cars just kind of disappear and are used for unauthorized and or unlawful uses. But after consultation with knowledgeable people in the area of this type of theft, my constituents understand that there is a different and more effective way to attack the problems. And they have requested that House Bill 1177 be tabled. So I thank you again, Mr. Chair, and members of the House Judiciary Committee.
Thank you, Representative Craig. Was there anybody here from out of town who planned on testifying on this bill? Okay. With that, I'm going to close the committee to take in a public testimony. Thank you, Representative. Open up to committee action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hoffman.
Move to table.
Second. Moved by Hoffman, seconded by Hansen. Those in favor of tabling will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Magstead.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Stevens. Johns.
Aye.
Hayek.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 13 ayes, 0 nays.
House Bill 1177 is hereby tabled. Since we're on a roll with tabling bills, we're going to take up House Bill 1219. House Bill 1219. Proponent, testimony, House Bill 1219. Representative Hickey.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll fill you in on the details behind this bill and the subsequent one after we table this one, and I'll give you more information on what's going on with these bills. So I would ask that you table 1219.
Thank you, Representative Hickey. Anybody from out of town who plan on testifying on this bill? Seeing none, we're going to close the committee to the taking of public testimony. Open it up to committee action. Representative Wink.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I move to table 1219.
It's moved by Representative Wink. Seconded by Representative Hansen. That's a non-debatable motion. Those in favor of tabling will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Magstead.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Hayek.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 13 ayes, 0 nays.
House Bill 1219 is tabled. That takes us to House Bill 1171, an act to exempt certain property from bankruptcy levy. Proponent testimony in House Bill 1171, Representative Hickey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Representative Steve Hickey from District 9 in Sioux Falls, and promise to not take an hour and a half this week as I did last week, but I do appreciate your attention to these bankruptcy exemption issues. This year, I brought four bankruptcy exemption bills. I separated the various pieces of them because in previous years, if one point proved contentious, the whole bill goes down, and so I separated them this year, as you all well know. We've already seen two of those bills, which were to increase the personal property exemption in bankruptcy. And that bill passed this committee 11-2, and it passed the House floor 56-12. And the limit was raised $2,000. We had a lengthy discussion, much opposed, on the vehicle exemption, and that was proposed at $5,000, and that did not succeed. I have considered bringing that back in an amendment in discussion with some of you, you know, maybe to reduce it to $2,500 or whatever. But in discussing this with those who opposed it, we have struck a deal of sorts where I would be content with the gains that we achieved in House Bill 1030, which was personal property exemption, and drop these other more contentious pieces if they would not resist, you know, the passage of what we've already gained. And so I'm satisfied with that. I believe that they are satisfied with that. And so with this bill, it had two primary pieces. 1171 had the addition of a health aid exemption, which I'll explain, and it also had alimony. Alimony, I have agreed to amend out. And so you have before you an amendment, which is 1171A, which will entirely strike that aspect of the bill, which I would assume would, you know, have a significant opposition. And then I would like to speak now to what would be remaining in the bill, which is the health aide, which is on page 2, line 3 and 4. Any health aides professionally prescribed to the debtor or the dependent of the debtor. Until this first bill that went through the House finishes its course here, our personal property exemptions are $4,000 for a single person, $6,000 for a single person with as a parent paying or with a child, and then a married couple is $10,000. Personal property includes but is not limited to furniture, appliances, tax refunds, vacation time, accrued but unpaid wages, rental and utility deposits, sporting items, equity in cars, many things. When a person has health aides, they quickly go over those limits. There is no master list of what constitutes a health aide. And so to give you an idea of what some of those things could be, you could simply look into a home health aide catalog. You'll find things like wheelchairs, scooters, beds, traction equipment, lifts, ramps, walkers, various kinds of monitors, CPAP machines, hearing aids, air purifiers, nebulizers, breathing apparatus, communication devices for the visually impaired. According to Chrysler's in Sioux Falls, They tried to get me to have $2,000 per ear hearing aids, so that's four. But apparently the top number on hearing aids could be $7,500, a powered wheelchair, $6,500, an oxygen concentrator, $3,500, stair glides, $3,500, CPAP machine, $1,850, and a hospital bed at $1,200. So you can see that the professionally prescribed health aids quickly, if not immediately, eats up the entirety of the personal property exemption. And a number of states have this. The federal statute has this exact wording, North Dakota as well. So I think this would be a very reasonable addition to that. I will point out that the aid must be professionally prescribed. So we're not talking about swimming pools and saunas and gym equipment and various bicycles that are available to a person. They don't have to be in the home. Let me give you an example. Let's say Uncle Bill finds relief for his lower back pain by sitting in a therapeutic leather chair that he bought at the advice of his nephew. That is not a professionally prescribed chair, although it sounds wonderful to sit in. It is not covered. What would be covered are a couple of wheelchairs if a person like my father-in-law, who had polio in the 40s, has a couple of wheelchairs. One's thinner, he can get around the various rooms of his house, and one he goes outside in, a little more durable, or one works when the other one's getting a new tire or something. There's a couple of, that stuff does get covered. And so that gives you a little understanding of what health aids are. I hope that you'll consider this favorably as amended, and that's all I have for you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hickey. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1171. Seeing none, any opponent testimony? This one might go pretty quickly as well. Seeing no testimony, we're going to close the committee to the taking of public testimony. Open up to committee questions. Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hickey. Representative Hickey. Somebody went to their doctor and he had high blood pressure, he was overweight, and the doctor says, you know, you need to lose some weight, you need a treadmill or a rowing machine or something like that. Would that qualify for something like this?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that exercise equipment is not considered a health aid as prescribed. They're available, and the information that I've been given are saunas, swimming pools, bicycles, exercise machines are not a part of that.
Further questions by the committee? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hickey, what about a van for the wheelchair that could be prescribed by the doctor? Because if you're in a wheelchair, you're going to more than likely need a van for that wheelchair to get around and maybe get to and from work. So would that be a health aid?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Gibson. It's an excellent question, and there is no one-size-fits-all answer. That would be an issue that's discussed in the proceedings of bankruptcy. But let me give you the information that I have as I've asked the question myself. Some vans are retrofitted, and this is a permanent part of their construction, and they are very expensive. I do not know how that situation would be handled. If that entire van is exempt, I would hope that it would be, but I do not know the answer to that. I can answer that in a number of cases, and I'll use my father-in-law as an example. His equipment in his car, he has no use of his legs, moves from car to car. So every few years when he buys a new car, that whole thing is taken out and fitted in his new car. And so I can imagine, and we have no, you know, one size fits all answer, that it's probably different in case by case. If the vehicle is considered a vehicle, and the equipment is not, it is exempt. Hope that helps.
Further questions by the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Hickey. We'll close the committee to the taking of questions and open it up to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move 1117JA, the amendment.
1171. Can't read.
Thank you.
Motion is to move the amendment 1171JA by Representative Hoffman, seconded by Representative Hansen. Comments on your motion?
No, thank you.
Any further comments by the committee? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Further comments and or action on 1171 as amended? Representative Feinstein.
Second.
Moved by Representative Feinstein. Do pass as amended, seconded by Representative Magstadt. Comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a good step in the right direction. The folks that need these devices, you know, they're not out there to get the devices just to hide them from creditors, and I think that it's a necessary thing to do in our law. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments on the do pass motion? I would just conclude with, in response to your question, Representative Gibson, the bill as proposed says professionally prescribed, and I don't know that an accessible van has ever been prescribed by a doctor. So there would be quite a limitation in that sense. With that, those in favor of the do pass motion as amended will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink.
Aye.
Killer.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Magstadt.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Stevens.
Aye.
Johns.
Aye.
Hayek.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 13 ayes, 0 nays.
1171 will go to the floor as amended with the do pass recommendation. Takes us to our final bill. Thank you, Representative Hickey.
Thank you.
House Bill 1216, an act to prohibit computer damage, computer theft, and unauthorized computer access and provide penalties. Therefore, we will take proponent testimony on House Bill 1216. Representative Kirschman, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm going to pass out some articles. Thank you. I found out at 10 after 9 that I might have to have an amendment for this bill. Okay. This bill has to do what they call data breach in Minnesota, but it's kind of an anti-hacking bill. Starts out with the first part, terms of the act, access, authorization, computer system, computer network, property, services, computer program, computer software, and loss. And then it gets into computer security system, destructive computer program, and encryption. And then personal data. And then Section 2 has any person who does any of the following is guilty of a computer damage and may be sentenced to provided in Section 3 of the Act. And so there's action for computer hacking. And is that when I pass out the amendment?
I'll have the pages pass out your amendment.
She found at 10 after 9, there's some old stuff that needs to be taken out, and all this new action will have to be put in to the bill, into law. And I'm not a computer person, but a friend of mine, his wife is in the trucking insurance business, and she said that computer hacking, they're always worried about damage done to their system and people getting information that they shouldn't be. So she said this would be a good bill. But another friend of mine said, what are you going to do when they start asking you questions about computers? She says you can barely figure out your reply button. So I hope there's somebody coming up behind me to testify on this, because I know very little about them. I just got an iPad and I'm still playing with it, trying to figure out everything. But if there's any questions, I'll answer later.
Thank you, Representative Kirschman. Further proponent testimony in House Bill 1216. Seeing none, any opponent testimony on House Bill 1216? Seeing none, any questions from the committee? Representative Wink.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kirschman?
Yes.
I may have missed it in your testimony. Was this language patterned after a bill in another state?
Yes, Minnesota passed this in that first article. A member of one department was breaching into the Department of Motor Vehicles and did 19,000 queries, and he was a supervisor in his department. And so eventually someone's going to start hacking in South Dakota, and so this is all new. We had a bill in Commerce the other day on identity theft, and Representative Magstead talked about having your identity stolen, and that's what they're doing. And so this is, I think, needed legislation, and I hope for your approval.
Any follow-up?
No, thank you.
Further questions? Representative Hayek.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Kirschman, and thank you for bringing this. I was not aware, and I appreciate that you have brought the amendment, and we are reviewing right now the current law. Is there something within the current law that you believe is not good and that you're bringing the change for? Because it seems to mirror much of what is in this proposal.
The stuff we're taking out? I didn't even know we had anything, and she brought this in. So we had to take all this other action out. I didn't know we even had this until 10 after 9. So I really haven't. I'm not a lawyer, so I...
A follow-up?
Go ahead.
Thank you. There is actually, in the current law, we specifically refer to violations and what the penalty will be in regard to what the individual does. And it seems to be a little bit more comprehensive. Do you have any problem with your new discovery of us just maintaining the law as it is?
Representative Kirschman, go ahead.
Well, she said, well, with the new bill and the new stuff, that the old stuff could be taken out. So she said that's what this, and she's a lawyer.
Further questions by the committee?
Thank you.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, for Representative Kirschman, so I wonder if you would be amenable to basically keeping what we have in the books right now, which has been, by my reading here, good standing law since 2002, originally put on the books in 1982. And the way I and some others read this is there's really only one section within your bill that doesn't already that isn't already covered by existing law, and that's the section that deals with a person who distributes a destructive computer program without authorization and with intent to damage or destroy any computer, computer system, computer network, computer software, or any other property.
So, I don't have any problem making it a better bill. So,
okay.
Mr. Chair, what section are you referring to?
Hang on a second. We're going to fire across the table here. Any further questions of Representative Kirschman? And can we have a page come forward? We have some handout here. Proposed amendment by Representative Hansen. I think he'd like you to distribute. Make sure you give one to Representative Kirschman as well, who's testifying currently. We'll wait till that gets passed around, have a chance to look at it, and then open it up to more questions.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Feinstein, go ahead and ask your question.
My question is to Representative Hansen. What section are you referring to that's in the new, in the printed bill so I could follow what you were saying?
Well, what he's talking about is eliminating everything in the printed bill and then adding an additional section, and that he's saying existing statute, which you see in Representative Kirschman's amendment, is the existing statute.
Right.
Representative Kirschman, if you've had a chance to look at the amendment, do you have any additional testimony?
No.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just a point of clarification here, and this is, of course, just for the committee's consideration. It seems as if Section 2... Subsection 3. So this is describing an individual who distributes a destructive computer program without authorization and with intent to damage or destroy any computer, computer system, computer network, computer software, or any other property. Now, as I read our existing statute, which is 43-43B-1, that act is not covered in our existing law. And I think it's a good thing to have prohibited in our statutes. The other section that is not covered explicitly in 43-43B-1 is Section 6, which talks about the attempt to basically hack into somebody's computer. Now, attempt to commit a crime is also covered in another section of our law. That's 22-4-1. So by virtue of our existing statute, that would be covered as well. So the way I read this bill, to be very clear, the only thing that's not covered in our existing statutes is what I've just distributed in that amendment.
Was that a question?
Sorry.
For any other questions of the committee?
Well, then, excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Well, hang on a second. Do you have we'll save comments for after. Does anybody have questions for the proponent of this bill? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Kirschman. We'll open it up now for committee discussion and or action. Representative Gibson.
May I ask a question on 1216JA?
That amendment has been distributed and has been discussed to some extent, go ahead and ask a question of the...
What would be the justification for a Class 6 felony here?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chairman, if I might. Mm-hmm. Basically, what this amendment does is takes the penalty out of the proposed legislation. Personally, I think maybe a class one misdemeanor might be more appropriate. That's just my opinion. Class six felony, I think, maybe is a little too steep. But I hope that answers your question.
Further questions or comments? Representative Stevens.
Would you have any objections if we change to class one? It seems like we just went through this whole thing with public safety and nonviolent, and now we're making another felony.
Chairman. I have no objection to that. It doesn't appear as if the sponsor of the bill would have any objection to that either.
Very good. With that, I'll ask for committee action. Or Representative Hayek.
Thank you. I'm curious. The current statute definition of term says destroy or to make unusable, render inoperable, render unable to accept or process data, supply results, render unable to perform data processing tasks, or cause computer networks to be unable to transfer data between computer systems for any amount of time. I'm concerned that by taking this amendment, we are starting to get into a very minute definition of terms that may become obsolete, and that there are things that we've envisioned. We don't know what's coming down the road. And so this one is a distribution of destructive computer program without authorization with intent to damage or destroy any computer system, computer network, computer software, or other person who's guilty of class 6 felony. I think there's a bit of a duplication. I'm not sure that we need to actually make any changes to the statute. I know good intentions by everybody in this. I don't mean to take anything away. But I think once we start to try to define every instance, every occasion, we get ourselves into kind of a pit that's going to be a problem. So I'm not sure that we do need the amendment.
Sure. Yeah, Representative Hayek, which section of existing law were you referring to?
I'm actually 4343B2, which gives a definition of terms that I don't believe you have in front of you.
43-43-2. 43-43B-2.
Which is actually crossed out on this, Mr. Chairman, on the original amendment from Representative Kirschman. Subsection 6, top of the second page.
Yeah, Representative Hayek, I don't see where in existing law the proposed amendment is already addressed about. I know the computer is defined in the section you referenced, but I don't see where.
It's subsection 6 under 43B-2.
Mr. Chair,
yeah,
point of order.
Johns.
If you look at 43B1, sub 8 and sub 9, it's already against the law to knowingly destroy or disable a computer system, and under 9, to knowingly destroy or disable software or computer data. Looks like just about all of this is covered.
Well, I will say that there's probably a difference between destroying or disabling and causing other odd things to occur on a computer, intrusive software that has pop-up windows. It's not going to destroy your computer or disable it, but it's certainly going to have annoying things happen, and I don't know that that's covered by...
Mr. Chairman, that's where I got into the definition on sub 6. If you go over on 43B2-2.
Okay, hang on a second. Let's not turn this into just a wide-open discussion here. You have to wait until you're called on before you can speak. Further comments?
Mr.
Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chair, I know, I think we're maybe heading in the right direction with this amendment, but the existing, the printed bill that we have on page 3 gives us a definition of destructive computer programs that this amendment is talking to, and I wonder if you have to include both. And I guess
no.
I think we're headed in a good direction,
destroy.
But I wonder if we should take a day and take a breather on this and maybe put some of this together and come back. And I don't know what your calendar looks like, but I would like to offer that out. That seems like the discussion is going in favor of doing something, and I think we can come up with a good bill.
Well, the problem with that is we've got two more committee meetings, and each of those has a full agenda. I didn't know today was going to be as brief as it was, but we have another hour and 5 minutes where we could figure this out if we needed to do it right now. But let's... Representative Hansen has a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the difference here in regarding Representative Hayek's concerns is subsection 6 of 43-43B-2 deals with destroying or making an unstable, unusable or inoperable computer. This amendment and this proposed amendment, I should say, deals with distributing a computer virus with the intent to destroy. That's the difference. This amendment deals with distributing a computer virus, a destructive piece of computer programming, with the intent to destroy. It doesn't deal with the action of actually having destroyed the computer yet. Does that clarify that? No.
Well, Mr. Chair. Hang on a second. Oh. Just give me a second here. You know, one of the things I think I think Representative Hayek is right that the given the definitional section, given the definitional section of Chapter 43-43B, 43-43B-2, subpart 6, and how the term destroy is defined, and if then go to the previous section, 43-43B-1. And what subparts 8 and 9 reflect about knowingly destroying or disabling computer system or computer software without consent of the owner, that's covered. But what I wonder if is not covered is just distributing the destructive program to somebody else who might then trigger it themselves or forward it along to somebody else, whose computer then becomes damaged or destroyed, and if that's not currently covered under the law.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Magstadt.
I'm kind of dovetailing on exactly what we're talking about, because sometimes viruses are not about destroying a computer. They're about installing malware and spyware onto your computer, which then becomes a portal for hacker access. And I think this piece, this amendment sort of starts to address that with the damage, because not necessarily to destroy, but installation of external software.
And the term damage is not defined in the current sections. Representative Hayek, do you have a comment?
I do, and I think Representative Magstadt is really getting into the area that is possibly lacking here, that we interrupt. I think throughout we've got interrupting, and currently what it says, if you go to subsection 4, disrupts, denies, or inhibits access to software or data without the consent of the owner, this is on the original 43-43B1. If you go to 4, disrupts, denies, or inhibits access. And what I was trying to make the point in is that we talk about all of this various things that come on, but the terms that are currently within the statute are extremely broad and will allow for an interpretation that will take into account all of the issues that we're talking about. So that's why I was concerned about putting on an amendment that is going to start to define these terms further when I think they're very broadly defined. And I don't know if that's making any sense.
It does, but I don't know if the existing statute covers the amendment here, because the existing statutes require the element of knowingly destroying. And I wonder if you could argue that because the computer that got destroyed, it was not intended by the perpetrator, I guess, to be destroyed, but that person just put the malicious software out there and distributed it, if that wouldn't be covered by existing statute. Representative Johns.
Mr. Chair, The words intent and intentionally under SDCL 22-1-2 require proof in this circumstances is in that import a specific design to cause a certain result, whereas knowledge under sub 3 does not require a proof of a specific intent. It's a lesser burden of proof. Our statute now, I believe, covers everything that we need to deal with.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hayek.
If we look at the amendment 1216JA, it also has an intention clause to it with intent to damage or destroy. So they knowingly do it. I don't know. I'm getting kind of a conflict there. Do we want the intent, or do we want a person that has actually put it on not knowingly? Because this amendment does include intent.
Give the committee a second to look up.
It's a lesser word.
Why don't you repeat this section too? No,
in specific intent, but then knowledge is a lesser burden of proof. It only requires a knowledge that the facts exist, but they act.
You know. Very good.
Yeah.
Leave it. Let's
kill this sucker.
All right.
I'm going to move forward for a second.
Okay. No, well, any more comments by the committee? I think I'm going to have Representative Johns, he has made a ruling. Repeat what you said a little bit ago.
Proposed amendment. The proposed amendment requires specific intent. Knowledge is a lesser degree of proof. Under our statute 22-1-22 sub b, the words intent or intentionally and all derivatives thereof import a specific design to cause a certain result, or if the material part of a charge is a violation of a prohibition against conduct of a certain nature regardless of what they intend, then a specific design to engage in that conduct of that nature, whereas the words knowledge or knowingly and all derivatives thereof import only a knowledge that the facts exist which bring the act or omission within the provisions of the statute. A person has knowledge if that person is aware that the facts exist which bring the act or omission within the provisions of the statute. Knowledge of the unlawfulness of such act or omission is not required. And then our statute goes on to say that if knowledge suffices to establish an element of an offense, then intent or malice also constitutes sufficient culpability. So it's a lesser degree of proof. Our statute currently covers what we're looking at, and so I do have a substitute motion.
We will take action at this time, unless there's an additional comment in regards to what was just said. Go ahead, Representative Johns.
My substitute motion is that we would table to the 41st day.
Well, I don't think there's been a motion at this point. There's been no motion on the amendment, I don't believe. So I think this would be an original motion to the 41st day. That's moved by Representative Johns, and that was seconded by Hayek. Any additional comments on that motion?
No.
41st day. Any other comments by the committee? Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for the committee members. I do understand what, I guess, the computer aspect of it, but I think, you know, thinking 10 years ahead, it's going to be not about our computers but our phones. You know, this is where everything is really going, and this is where, you know, and I think having it spelled out specifically to cover mobile apps or something like that might be in line, but I don't know. I don't think that's a discussion for here right now, but I just want to really throw that out there. And I will be, I just want to, you know, state that. So thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Well, thank you, Representative. And I think the current statute, 43-43B-2, and how it defines a computer would probably cover that as well. It states that it is an internally programmed general purpose digital device capable of automatically accepting data, processing data, and supplying the results of the operation. So that is probably covered as well. Any further comments on the motion to the 41st day, Representative Feinstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose the motion because I think we're onto something, and I think between Representative Hansen's amendment and if we were to add in page 3, lines 5 to 13, I think we'd have something substantial here that does go beyond, and maybe that was the original intent of making it a felony, is make it a higher standard of a destructive program. So, I mean, with that, I'll oppose this motion, and if it comes back, I think we'll amend this and go forward.
Further comments on the motion to the 41st day? See none. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Wink?
Aye.
Killer?
No.
Feinstein?
No.
Gibson?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Magstead?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Stevens?
Aye.
Johns?
Aye.
Hayek?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, that's 11 ayes, 2 nays.
House Bill 1216 will be deferred to the 41st day. Representative Kirschman, I was looking forward to you talking on the House floor. Maybe another day, another bill. Well, with that concludes our agenda for today. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Representative Gibson, seconded by Representative Hoffman. Those in favor of adjourning will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.